The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today
FM. What do you make of the suggestion by the incoming Taoiseach, Simon Harris, that the plan to increase the number of sick days that workers are entitled to could be paused? That the number of sick days at present is 5. The plan has been to increase the statutory sick day leave from next January to 7 and then bring them up to 10 in 2026. But that now could apparently be paused. Owen Reedy, as the General Secretary of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, what do you make of what seems to be going on?
Good afternoon, Matt, and good afternoon, John. I think if this reporting is true, I think it's a big mistake. And it seems to me that what are very modest labour market reforms bring us into line with Europe. I mean, 25 of the 27 other member states have statutory sick leave, many of them for a long time. We're really out of date here. And it's a very modest introduction over a four-year period, well-phased. So it seems to me that the incoming Taoiseach and his government seem to have been spooked by a very slick, well-organised PR campaign by the employers, but unfortunately a campaign which is all spin and very little substance, because most of their facts don't seem to stand up to actual data and scrutiny, and I think much of what they've said has not really been interrogated as well, Matt. So I think it would be a reactionary step. I think it would breach trust with tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of low-paid workers who are locked out of trade unions because of the employer veto, who have to rely on statutory provisions. And we know that the majority of the people we're talking about are either young workers are disproportionately female workers. So I think it would be a slap in the face to them, and I think something they won't forget in a hurry.
John Barry, as a National Council member of ISMI and as the MD of MSS, the HR people, what do you make of this potential that we would not introduce the increased number of sick days to people next year and the year after?
Well, hi, Matt, how are you doing? It's not just a matter of the sick pay, is it, though? I mean, we in ISMI have been talking and calling for sensible increases over the years rather than what we're facing. I mean, in the next 2 years, we're looking at least 25% increase in labour cost, and that's without adding the additional sick days and other benefits that the state will decide to employ, which have been driven by ICTU and their unions, and certainly complicit by the larger employers, because the larger employers generally are not interested in the small businesses. Yet we represent probably 2/3 of the employees in this country, and we've been screaming out for an awful long time, please, please, please stop adding the costs indefinitely, and that's what they keep doing without taking account. What the sick pay has done is basically allowed the government to abdicate from its now was paying sickness benefit to people after 3 days sickness. They will now be able to abdicate it to 10 days, because they're saying if you're in receipt of statutory sick pay, then you will not get any social welfare. So, you know, it's the government are saving money at the cost of the employers. And this affects small employers much more than big employers, because if someone is missing, invariably they have to be replaced. So it's not a simple cost of a day's pay for sick pay. And many employers will probably do that anyway for their small employees. But it's a matter of total costs. And you just can't take sick pay in isolation. It's all the costs.
Well, let me put that to you, Owen Reedy. Is the government here effectively handing off some of its costs to employers, expecting them to bear something that government should be bearing?
Well, I think what the government are doing is expecting employers to step up to the plate, because if you think about it, Matt, and I've been on your show before talking about this, I mean, the employers effectively get a subsidy because they pay as little as half of taxes on labour, employers pay PSI, compared to employers across the rest of Europe, the average. So, you know, employers are undertaxed. So I think, you know, they have to fill in some of the gaps here. You know, we talk about being one of the wealthiest countries in Europe, but when it comes to some of our labour market standards, you know, we're laggards. We're bottom of the class. So we can't have it every way. I mean, obviously, we don't want to see any small business, because they're an important part of the fabric of our community, close or suffer. But as we said before in our paper, challenging the myths and improving working conditions in a strong economy, you know, the employment rate in hospitality in particular has grown twice as fast as the rest of the economy. It's up 7%. So, you know, there is change. Places close, but many other places are opening, and we're in a full labour market with 2.71 million people at work. So, I mean, if John and his colleagues had their way, first of all, we'd have no minimum wage. And I see recently they have the brass neck to suggest that the minimum wage should be pegged at consumer price inflation. Like, does John really believe that we can't have a hospitality industry unless it's based on poverty pay? I think we have to be a bit more ambitious, a bit more hopeful, and a bit more progressive than that. And I think if we work together, and if John's people allowed the employees who want to be in a union to be in a union, to be recognised, and if we bargained nationally at sectoral level, many of these issues wouldn't be a problem. But that's going to take a little bit of modernization from Ismay and their colleagues, and it's going to take a little bit more forward thinking, and it seems it's not there at the moment. So I think the employers have to do their bit. We pay taxes at European levels for workers, PAYE. Employers don't. They need to pay their fair share.
So what you say to that, John Barry, that you're getting away with it in business at present, you're not paying the same level of employer taxes as will be common throughout the European Union, and that in wanting to stop the rise in the minimum wage, that you're interested simply in poverty pay?
Well, far from it, because in this economic environment, we wouldn't survive. But, I mean, it's interesting that Owen is saying, would ISME and small employers be happy to sit down? We have been asking for the last number of years to be allowed onto the Labour Employer Economic Forum, which has been an area which has been kept exclusively for the IBEC and Irish Congress of Trade Unions and the Confederation of Irish Industry, as far as I know. It's all the big players, the small companies, the small business who have been asking for a voice in that forum haven't been given it. So, you know, we're happy to talk about it. We're happy to talk realities of it. And we believe, in fact, if we had been consulted long before now, we may not be having these arguments, because we take a far more balanced approach to everything. But that's reality.
But what about, John, the poverty pay? About if you don't increase the minimum wage, you don't give people enough money to be able to participate in society, to buy essentials and to buy the goods and services of your members.
But firstly, we no suggestion we want people on a poverty wage. But what we are saying is you've got to have an employer who can afford to pay the wages. And we see small businesses outside the main cities are being decimated, because they're basically saying we can't afford to continue to operate a business. It is very expensive to run a business in Ireland, and in the small business, it's even more expensive. For every hour we save in working time per employee, we're saving 2.5% on payroll. We don't want to be doing that, because we want to be busy. By the end of the day, we just can't afford to carry all these plus costs that are associated with many other, maybe larger organisations.
Owen Reedy, would you not be worried that we may have hit a sort of peak employment for all the increase in the number of jobs that you've been able to point to us earlier, that there is a danger that we now have reached possibly a tipping point for a lot of businesses? We're seeing closures, particularly in the hospitality sector, that this could get suddenly that we could end up with a lot of people in lower paid jobs having no income at all other than the state, because jobs are going to be lost because of excessive costs.
Well, again, Matt, I think we need a little bit of balance and perspective here. I mean, John's using language like jobs being decimated. I've given you the stats, the actual facts of employment growth. I think we always need to be careful, and we need to be prudent, and we need to be conscious of a whole range of measures. And I do think we can look, and we should look at specific sectors, like it may be some small indigenous, you know, it was put to me earlier today, that small indigenous, you know, Irish-owned coffee shops, etc., or, you know, very small businesses, micro-businesses need to be supported. And I think that's fine, but we shouldn't stop the show for everybody. I mean, why should the very well-heeled employers who are doing very well, why should they get a free pass when it comes to basic sick leave? And I also think, you know, I don't hear John and his colleagues talking about the cost of insurance, the cost of legal fees. I mean, we'd support them on that. But since January of this year, it's all been about these modest labour market progressive issues. It's all been about the employee costs. I think there are other costs that need to be tackled. And the last thing they need to do is pick a row with their own employees. He makes the point about the Labour Employer Economic Forum. that's a matter for the employers to decide. We have so many employer bodies out there. But where John and his colleagues don't engage is at the Joint Labour Committee system. They have a veto on that, although that's going to change soon, thankfully. And they don't come and they don't talk. And I think many of these structural sectoral issues could be addressed and could be dealt with if we were able to have a mature engagement. But it takes two mature partners to do that. We're up for it. I would like to think John's people would in due course. Hopefully.
Are you, John?
Well, in fact, that's quite wrong. Just out of interest, ISME are very actively involved. I'm Persim on the contract cleaning JLC. ISME are supporting the Early Childhood Federation in their JLC. We are very much the JLCs and see benefits for them. So I don't know where Owen's coming from. What I would say is, with respect, is that it's not just labour costs, and don't make a margin of labours. It's every cost that's going up for a small employer, whether it be power, whether it be rates, whether it be labour costs, food costs, they're all going up. And so they are not exposed. And Indigenous, 70% of the companies in this country are small businesses. They are all Indigenous, and they all need to be looked after. And that's the important thing. And it's not just labour costs, but all we're saying is, please, please slow down what you keep lumping on top of employers in terms of labour-associated costs, and let us maybe plan out a more sensible and sustainable approach.
We have to leave it there. John Barry of ISME, Owen Reedy, General Secretary of ICTU, thank you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.